Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360 on this Friday. Eagles insider Dave Spadaro along with Chris McPherson. We're in our Xfinity studio at the NovaCare Complex. It seems like it has been forever since the Eagles played a football game. Bring on Sunday. You fired up for this one?
Certainly am, and it's good that today is Friday the 13th,
yes,
and
is.
Nothing weird or spooky gets out of the way. But a couple of things you all look at going into this game. The Eagles' rushing attack has been so prolific over the last 4 weeks. In fact, quite historic, rushing for over 150 yards in each of the last four contests. You hope that continues this Sunday against the Dolphins' defense, Dave.
Yeah, remarkable. The Dolphins, I really felt, going into the season with the upgrades they had made, the big signing of Ndamukong Suh, I thought that that group would be so stern against the run, and it has proven to be the other way. The Bills last week running for 266 yards. Ndamukong Suh this week saying that he is ready for the Eagles' two-headed monster in the backfield with Ryan Matthews, DeMarco Murray, and even with Darren Sproles. Is he that much of a just a non-factor for the Lions? I thought, or for the Dolphins, I thought he would kind of control things in the middle. I thought he would dominate for Miami.
He's okay in the middle. The problem is on the outside. That's really where the problem comes for his Miami defense. He can't do it all himself. You look at that interior with both Sue and Earl Mitchell. Guys to watch there. It'll be a good matchup that we'll preview later on in the show. But nonetheless, it takes the entire defense to come together. It can't be just one player there.
Well, we'll see. And as you say, we are going to take a look at some of these matchups for Sunday's game. It's the Eagles military salute. It's the month, of course, here in the NFL where we salute service, salute to service. And the Eagles have a really good program on Sunday. So if you are at the game, great. You'll enjoy it. If you are not at the game, make sure you're with us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We will cover halftime live. And it is one that you will not want to miss. Let's get you caught up with a busy week at the NovaCare Complex. The Eagles coming off the emotional win in overtime against Dallas. And since then, it's been all about getting ready for the Miami Dolphins.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith, and this is your 360 update. Today, we take a look back at some of the best sound clips from the week here at the NovaCare Complex. And we'll start things out by going inside the locker room to hear from some of the Eagles' offensive players as they talk about how this unit is clicking at the right time.
Felt like that was really one of the first times all year where we played at the tempo that we wanted to. You know, we played fast. We put a lot of pressure on the defense. You know, we had both the run game and the pass game going in that second half, and we're balanced and playing fast like that. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, I think it starts with the running game in this offense. When we're able to get DeMarco and Ryan and Darren going, it kind of changes the outlook for the entire game.
We've all been kind of playing well, I think. Offensive line has been playing extremely well. The receivers, you know, making blocks downfield, catching a lot of passes. So I think it's hard for teams to try to stop the run and stop the pass. So I think they're kind of keeping them on their toes.
Sam did a great job, dropped back, felt the edges collapsing, stepped up into the pocket, made a really nice throw. I think that he's just feeling more and more comfortable, it seems, back there. And part of that, I think, is us doing a better job up front, making him feel comfortable.
You know, from the very beginning, I always knew, like, okay, this is the guy. Now I just got to continue to go out there and make plays for him so I can build that trust. And so that's kind of like the process, you know, for me and I think for a lot of guys in the offense.
The other big news here from the NovaCare Complex is the loss of inside linebacker Jordan Hicks, who was placed on season-ending injured reserve with a torn pectoral muscle. We heard from some of the veterans inside the locker room on the advice that they gave to Hicks after the injury.
I told him, man, I said, you know, it's a bummer you got hurt, but you should be very happy about how you played the first eight games of your career. And he'll pick up right where he left off next year.
Just, you know, keep his head up. It's something he's been through before. You know, he's had a season-ending injury before in college. So, you know, something he's been through before. So just continue to just encourage him that, you know, he's done great up to this point. Don't let this wear on him mentally, because that's the biggest thing. He'll come back physically. He'll be fine. Just mentally, he just has to, you know, stay ahead of the game.
And finally, as the Eagles prepare for Sunday afternoon showdown with the Miami Dolphins, we heard from head coach Chip Kelly on the challenges that Ryan Tannehill brings to the table.
Because he's a dual threat, I think it's a little bit different than facing like an Eli. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, Eli's so talented throwing the football, but you're focused on that part of him. You're not worried about Eli taking it, tucking it, and running on you. With Ryan, you have to. I mean, he actually played receiver before he was when he was biding his time. He went into Texas A&M as a quarterback, but then while their other starter was playing, they got him on the field because he was so athletic as a receiver, then brought him back and continued to play him at quarterback. So the fact that he can do both, you got to be real conscious of where you are in the rush lanes. And they actually have design quarterback runs similar to playing Carolina with Cam. It's more like going in against a Cam than it is against going against an Eli.
That will wrap things up on this edition of the 360 Update. The Eagles and Dolphins square off at 1 o'clock right behind me at Lincoln Financial Field. Our kickoff show starts on Sunday at noon.
Thanks so much, Alex. We've got some matchups to look at. We're going to take a closer look at Ndamukong Suh later on. But, Chris, there's a key member of the defense who has been doing it since day one in a new position.
Yes, indeed. Safety Walter Thurman. Now, he's creating some Hollywood magic on the field, but he's also doing it off the field. We're going to talk about that coming up in our Lay's Kel Cook Presents Crunch Time right after this break on Eagles 360.
Hi, my name is Jim Taylor. I've been with Acme for 34 years. Our Lancaster brand beef is the best around. We cut our meat fresh every day. We actually have customers come from other stores just for our meat.
Freshness is our number one priority. No one beats our fresh fish.
We have the freshest apples, the Christie's lettuce. Fresh produce is what we do.
We do the best cake decorating in the area, hands down.
123 years strong. Come on in, you'll see the changes, you'll feel it, you'll love it.
The tournament is there. You're here. And before you take the team's star midfielder from here to there, along with his entourage, you have some things to do, like finding a place to stay, getting an oil change, mapping out the best route. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Roadside assistance? Not today, but always on call. So wherever your journey takes you, AAA helps you get there. So everyone's a winner. Start your journey at AAA.com.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
You step to Philly?
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Route 124.
Route 23.
I step to Philly. The 17 to training.
Jenkintown.
To her house.
His house.
To Betsy's house.
City Hall.
FTC.
Delco. Media.
To work.
To school.
To the mall.
Abuelas.
Broad Street.
To the game.
I step to Philly.
Anywhere.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to this week's edition of Lay's Kel Cook Presents Crunch Time. My special guest is none other than safety Walter Thurman. So, Walt, I like sports movies, and I know you're a movie aficionado. You have a film production business on the side. So, what is your dream project? What would be the one movie that, if you can make any movie in the world, what would it be?
It would have to be an original movie. I can probably see something like an early Western style type of film.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What would be the inspiration behind that?
I'm just a big fan of history and stuff like that. So, I mean, I think that'd be the biggest inspiration, the authenticity of the situation and, not having it, just fluffed up.
So if there's a movie that's going to be told about your story years from now, who is the actor that you'd want to play in it?
That's a good question. just off the top of my head, I'll just go Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there a movie that maybe doesn't get the acclaim that you say is an outstanding piece that more people should watch and know about? Outside of your work, of course.
I'm a big fan of Reservoir Dogs.
Okay.
Quentin Tarantino's first film. I think it's just an interesting crime caper film, but you never really see the actual heist committed, and so it's just a good tale of friendship, loyalty, and betrayal. You know?
So, what are some of the projects that you're working on right now? There's a documentary in the works about the OJ. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. So it's the life of Eddie LaVert, and also he's in the process of coming out with a new album. So he's 72 years old and he's still performing, going on tour. He was just out here in Philly last week with Gladys Knight, and you know, for being that age, he has so much energy. You know, so much, the show is so, you know, it's so youthful, even though he's at that age in his career. But it's almost inspiring to see somebody still has that passion for doing something that they love to do.
So how important is it, because you have a foundation off the field that brings the arts to youth, to maintain that in children and to be able to instill their creative side? Because it seems like nowadays you look at schools and a lot of people try to take that out of the school budgets and programs and things of that nature. How important is it to keep it in schools?
Yeah, I think it is. It's very important. You know, you're talking about a whole entertainment space of jobs, you know, being for people to be creative, to maximize their potential. And we're also within that is to be able to seek higher education. You know, that's what, another aspect of what the foundation represents, you know. It's just to lead the kids to alternative methods than what they're naturally accustomed to, and that they can have fun doing it.
Do you ever have to act on the football field? Whether it's when you're disguising a blitz, trying to trick a receiver in terms of which coverage you're doing?
Most definitely. I mean, when we're talking about disguising and playing those mind games with the quarterback, you know, you are acting. You know, you're acting like you're going to play one coverage and you're out there playing another coverage. So, I mean, it's not as intense, you know, as movie acting, but, you know, it's still an aspect to where you do have to play games.
All right, last question for you. We'll get back to more action on the football field. Biggest key to a win this Sunday against the Dolphins?
Playing team football, you know, playing team defense, playing together, playing team offense, and playing team special teams. You know, so I mean, it's just one of those things where we have to play for one another, be sound in our technique, and be disciplined in everything that we do.
Walter Thurman, my special guest on this week's edition of Lay's Calico presents Crunch Time. I'm Chris McPherson. Thanks for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Catch holiday cookie cheer on the tip of your tongue with Dunkin' Donuts holiday cookie flavored coffees, lattes, and macchiatos. Enjoy every sip of the new Snickerdoodle Macchiato. America runs on Dunkin'.
You need more chips? Fellas?
I'm sorry.
We were daydreaming.
About that VIP tailgate and game tickets?
Yeah.
That pregame sideline experience.
Exactly.
Or even Eagle season tickets.
How do you know?
We both have the new instant game from the Pennsylvania Lottery.
Yeah, the Eagles instant game with top prizes of 50 grand.
And second chance prizes, including season tickets.
The Pennsylvania Lottery. Bring your dreams to life.
Dunkin's new sweet black pepper bacon sandwich with double the slices of caramelized crispy peppered bacon. It's the bacon experience you've been waiting for. Bacon up. America runs on Dunkin'.
Bob's Discount Furniture, the official furniture store of the Philadelphia Eagles. We welcome you back. It's Eagles 360 Reminder. Our coverage of Eagles and Miami begins at 11 a.m. with a rerun of our Eagles television programming. And then we are live with our kickoff show, both from the NovaCare Complex and over at Lincoln Financial Field. I expect a great atmosphere for this game. I think the fans are really, really hungry for Eagles football.
I also like the fact it's a Sunday 1 o'clock game. Get it in early.
Three straight primetime games.
Yes, it's amazing. Yeah. So, but the Eagles in prime position, and they need to take advantage of this three-game stretch starting with the Miami Dolphins. Why don't we look at some key matchups?
Yeah, why don't you start, because there are some key ones. The Eagles have run the football well, and Miami's not doing such a good job stopping
it. They have not. Now, we talked about Ndamukong Suh. The key for me here is, can the Eagles get to the edges? That's what the Buffalo Bills did with success last Sunday with LeSean McCoy and Carlos Williams being able to generate over 100 yards each individually. There's some injuries at the linebacker position there for the Miami Dolphins. So to me, even though that the Dolphins have some key players up front and overall have been playing better since Dan Campbell took over as the interim head coach, I think this is a weakness that the Eagles can exploit. The Eagles have been rushing the ball better than every team in the National Football League over the last 5 weeks, except for only the St. Louis Rams and Todd Gurley. So to me, as good as DeMarco Murray has been, I think this could be a Ryan Matthews-type game with his ability to get to the edge.
And the Eagles' interior, they must control Earl Mitchell and Ndamukong Suh, two powerful interior defensive linemen. The Eagles are not big inside with Jason Kelce. We know that, and Alan Barber and Matt Tobin. And Suh can take over a football game. That's what the Miami Dolphins got him for. So interested to see what kind of adjustments the Eagles make. How much do they test the middle? What kind of protection can they give Sam Bradford, who's done a really good job stepping up and climbing in the pocket? That's been the key to his success throwing the football, buying time. And the Eagles are going to have to make sure that Mitchell and Sue do not dominate inside. And while the Eagles may run to the edges, they want to make sure that Sam Bradford has some time to step up and throw.
Great point there about Bradford and the job that he's done in the pocket. Now I'm going to look at the Dolphins at rushing attack led by Lamar Miller, but don't forget about rookie Jay Ajayi, who made his debut last Sunday against Buffalo and did quite well. It's a nice little complimentary mix there, sort of like what you have DeMarco Murray, who's sort of the finisher, and Ryan Matthews can get to the edges. Lamar Miller is the explosive back, while you have Jay Ajayi, who's the more physical, about 220 pounds. He's a guy who's going to bring it from downhill bases. That's why it's good for me that in the Eagles, that DeMeco Ryans is going to be back in the lineup to be able to solidify the interior of that line. Of course, we're all saddened by the loss of Jordan Hicks, showing such promise as a rookie, but integral that from a run defense standpoint, for a rushing defense that struggled the last couple of games against Carolina and against Dallas, that they get the man in the middle, their Mufasa, so to speak, in DeMeco Ryans.
I really think the key to the Miami offense is the way they get the football to Jarvis Landry, a second-round draft pick in 2014. He is a top talent, and he's very versatile. He'll line up in the slot a lot. He'll catch a lot of bubble screens. I really expect Miami to throw between 6 and 8 screens his way and dare the Eagles to cover him. Malcolm Jenkins likely to be the one in the slot. But when Landry moves outside, and he could do it a lot, if I'm Miami, I'm saying Byron Maxwell, go ahead and try to tackle Jarvis Landry. Very creative getting the football to him. He'll catch it. He'll throw it, as we've seen, and he will run the football as well. Jarvis Landry, a primetime talent, Chris. He and Jordan Matthews, two of the best from that 2014 wide receiver class. And the only reason people are not talking a lot about Jarvis Landry is because the Dolphins have just had a lot of inconsistencies getting him the football in the passing game.
Sure, you can argue that Ryan Tannehill has played quite well at quarterback over the last 4 games ever since Dan Campbell has taken over as the interim head coach. They've gone to a lot more 2 tight end sets, hey, very much like the Philadelphia Eagles, and you can also compare and contrast the explosive plays element. Ryan Tannehill, he will not throw the ball down the field. That's going to be something interesting to watch. Will they take more shots from an intermediate and deep standpoint against this Eagles defense? And you can also look at the Eagles wide receivers. Can they get the chunk plays going against this Dolphins defense?
And my intangible here is something I've been saying all week. How emotionally charged are the Eagles going to be after their huge win in Dallas? Now you come back home to Philadelphia against a struggling Miami Dolphins team. Do not take this team lightly. Can the Eagles score points in the first quarter? Miami, when they've lost games, they've been dreadful in the first quarter. When they've won games, they've been outstanding in the first quarter. I'm looking at that first 15 minutes and just kind of saying, this is what the whole game is going to be about. So let's see how quickly the Eagles can come out and strike Miami. When we return, we talk about some numbers. Alex Smith will give us the numbers, and then a little bit later on, Mike Quick and Ike Reese talking about Ndamukong Suh going to the film and finding out just how dominating the man in the middle can be for the Miami defense.
I got tickets, Metro tickets.
You need a Metro ticket. Talk to me, please.
How do I even know these are real tickets?
You just touch it.
How do I know they're legit?
Is this leather legit? I mean, how do we really know? It looks good, right?
Is the Metro paying you to do this?
No, I'm paying myself. I gotta make profit.
That makes more sense.
Does the baby need a Metro ticket? I'll give her one on me. These tickets, they're not stealing your soul. You can look at them. Man, nobody wants to buy tickets from a guy on the street. I don't understand.
What makes a Temple owl? Meet Stella. She's wise, fierce, and she's not alone. Temple University, where owls call home. We are the cherry in white. The city is our classroom, and we lead the rush hour, making our mark on every field around the world. A world without Temple, well, that's like the sky without the North Star. Temple, never stopping.
Experience the power of physical therapy at NovaCare Rehabilitation. We know the importance of an active lifestyle. If you're currently injured, let us bring that active lifestyle back to you. NovaCare is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. And with more than 100 convenient locations throughout Philadelphia and South Jersey, go to NovaCare.com today and request an appointment online or call 800-770-6682. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. NovaCare, the power of physical therapy.
We welcome you back. It's Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. Time for us to step aside. Alex Smith with his stats-only segment, The Numbers Inside the Story.
Hi, everyone. I'm Alex Smith, and this is the latest edition of Stats Only. Today, we'll take a look back at the Eagles' heart-pounding 33-27 victory over the Dallas Cowboys and look ahead to the Miami Dolphins. And we'll start things off by looking at how the Eagles' passing game was able to get back on track against Dallas. Though he's had his shares of ups and downs this season, quarterback Sam Bradford delivered his best performance to date on Sunday night. He completed 25 of his 36 passes for 295 yards, and his 41-yard strike to Jordan Matthews resulted in the game-winning play. Matthews' score was the fourth overtime touchdown by the Eagles and the first since Clyde Simmons scored on a blocked field goal return back in 1988 against the New York Giants. Bradford and Matthews had their chemistry on display throughout the night, and particularly on third down, as four of Matthews' 12 targets came on third. Bradford also came up clutch when the Eagles needed him to, as he went 5-for-5 for 56 yards and a touchdown on that final drive in overtime to help the Eagles come away with a pivotal NFC East victory. Another bright spot for the Eagles on Sunday night was the play of rookie inside linebacker Jordan Hicks. And while Hicks was unfortunately lost for the remainder of the season due to a pectoral injury, his body of work from his rookie year won't soon be forgotten by Eagles fans. Hicks has been a remarkable third-round find for the Eagles all season long, but he gave fans his signature rookie moment on Sunday with a pick six off of Matt Cassel. He scored on a 67-yard interception return, the longest by an Eagles linebacker since Sean Barber's 80-yarder in 2002, also at Dallas. In two games against the Cowboys, Hicks has a sack, a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and an interception return for a touchdown. Hicks became the fourth rookie linebacker in team history to have two or more interceptions in a season, and the first since Alonzo Johnson in 1986. Hicks has a sack, two interceptions, three fumble recoveries, and one forced fumble on the season. He became the ninth Eagles rookie with a pick six, and the first since Bill Bradley in 1969. Finally, as we look ahead to Sunday's game against Miami, we focus on the Eagles' rushing defense as they look to get back on track against Lamar Miller and the Dolphins' offense. The Eagles' rushing defense started out among the league leaders this season as they allowed an average of just 94 yards per game on average over the first six games. In the last 2 weeks, however, the Panthers and Cowboys have found success rushing the ball against the Eagles, averaging 169 yards per game on the ground. The Eagles look to turn things around this week, but it won't be an easy task. Miami is averaging over 103 yards per game on the ground, and they ran for a ridiculous 248 yards against Houston in late October. Lamar Miller and company will certainly provide a challenge to the Eagles' front seven. That will wrap things up for this edition of Stats Only. Be sure to join us here next week on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you very much, Alex. Sam Bradford, 295 yards, no interceptions, no turnovers. Definitely going to be something to watch. So we're getting to the final stretch here on Eagles 360. After this quick break, we're going to look at Ndamukong Suh and just the force that he's been for this Miami defense and offer our final thoughts on this Eagles-Dolphins showdown right here on Eagles 360.
What if this year, we went around the table and instead of saying what we're thankful for, we said who we're thankful for? Lincoln Financial helps provide financial security for those who are always there for you. Because this is what you do for people you love. Take charge of your now at LincolnFinancial.com. Lincoln Financial, you're in charge.
Carbs to compete. Electrolytes to replenish. Everything you need to keep sweating.
I sup to Philly.
I sup to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
ISEP to Philly. The Broad Street Line on game days.
A la bodega.
To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
Eagles fans, score a touchdown of your own by downloading the new McDonald's app for some delicious deals on the download. Offers are updated weekly, and you can receive a free sandwich just for downloading the app. McDonald's, I'm loving it. We are back. It's Eagles 360, our final segment on this Friday. Dave Spadaro, Chris McPherson. Things to look for in this game number one for me, Chris. I want to see Sam Bradford continue to rise. You?
Yes, indeed. Definitely, you made a great point earlier about his ability to step up in the pocket and how good he's been from that standpoint. Now, a player who's going to make it a little bit difficult is going to be Ndamukong Suh. Started off his career as a Detroit Lion, was a Pro Bowl player for them. He signed the big money deal, over $60 million guaranteed with the Miami Dolphins. Has he been worth the bang for his buck? Let's go to the Eagles game planning crew, Mike Quick and Ike Reese, to break down the all 22 of Ndamukong Suh.
All right, Mike, the scouting report brings us to the $100 million offseason acquisition Ndamukong Suh that the Dolphins have. Mm-hmm. Has not played like that $100 million man, but every once in a while, he shows you flashes. Good job of him getting off the ball here. Penetration, you get a tackle for loss from him.
A real good get off. You know, he is quick off the football when he wants to play. But the legend of Ndamukong Suh is not what it is today. He's just not that same player. But he's a guy that they have to be aware of. They have to make sure that they block.
Yeah, the key for him is when he decides he wants to play, he can be that former All-Pro guy. It's just too often he doesn't look like him. You watch him here versus the double team, going to do a great job fighting off the double team, shedding the blocker, and he sort of gets in on this tackle on Arian Foster, even though Foster went down prior to him getting to him.
Yeah, and that's more like he plays. You know, he's used to taking on double teams. He's able to fight them off. They got no movement on him, and he's still able to get in on the play. That's kind of Ndamukong Suh at his best.
Yeah, that's what they paid for. Yeah. This is not what they paid for. Last week versus the Buffalo Bills, close to 300 yards rushing.
Yep.
This defense gave up, and just look at the effort of this play. He gets hooked here, and then once Shady gets to the outside, I mean, you don't pay a guy this much money to basically give up on plays. And this is why the Dolphins are next to last in the league versus the run. It's because of the effort like that that they too often show.
Thanks, Mike. And I, Chris, you know, still some uncertainty about the offensive line here. Lane Johnson at left tackle, potentially. Dennis Kelly at right tackle, potentially. Now that you've had a chance to look at this offensive line, hey, they played great on Sunday night, but the Dolphins have had a full week to study this group. And while we don't know about Jason Peters, the expectation, at least from Lane Johnson this week, is that he'll play left tackle. You wonder, after a week of watching, how the Dolphins attack the Eagles' offensive line. I'm not saying that they're weaker, but Dennis Kelly has never really been a long-term solution, certainly a right tackle for sure.
He has not, but who is providing the pass rush there for the Miami Dolphins? They lost their best pass rusher for the year in Cameron Wake to the Achilles injury. In fact, Ndamukong Suh has been bringing the heat up the middle along with Earl Mitchell. Those have been two of the best players on that defensive side of the football. So you look at the guys like Derek Shelby, Olivier Vernon, they've not been able to generate that consistent pass rush where a week ago against Dallas, they had talents like Randy Gregory and, of course, Greg Hardy to be able to match up. So the Eagles had a pretty good test last week. Obviously, they handled the situation with aplomb. They should be able to carry that over.
With aplomb,
indeed.
Well, hopefully there's another plum on the way for the Eagles. And hopefully Sam Bradford starts quickly here, and the Eagles put up a couple touchdowns in the first quarter. And don't let the Dolphins hang around. How many times have we seen this in the past? You let an inferior team hang around. You pay for it at the end of the game.
Indeed.
Ready to go?
Let's make it happen.
All right. Chris McPherson will be with you all day Sunday here from the NovaCare Complex. I'll be at Lincoln Financial Field. And we are ready for Eagles-Dolphins on Sunday. The second half of the season begins then. For Chris McPherson, I'm Dave Spadaro. Thanks so much for joining us. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.